Amen. You know,
let me give a quick update. Dad was back in his pulpit this morning, so we're happy. He got to go home Thursday. And they did shock his heart once, and it put it right back in rhythm. And then they took him off the meds that made him so sick. So appreciate you asking. He's doing a lot better. He's doing a lot better. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers.
We were very excited to see that he got to preach this morning and tonight. Amen. I was the Elon Musk before there ever was an Elon Musk. But my family never appreciated my... And by the way, it did work. It was a submarine. And it did work for a while until my neighbor started shooting me with a pellet gun. And then it sunk. What a great... Yeah, I appreciate the sympathy on that. I sure have had a great time with y'all this week. What a sweet and affectionate church. You've been so kind. The basket that they gave me. I don't know who knew that I love pistachio and bugles. The Mountain Dews, I wasn't supposed to drink them, but I did anyway. Don't tell my wife. And I appreciate your kindness this week. And I can't say enough for your pastor, Pastor Russell. Miss Christie made some tremendous meals for me. And I've taken Julian's room all week. I was telling him today, the other night, I rolled over and I felt bad for Julian sleeping on the floor. And then I rolled over and went back to sleep. So, anyway, I appreciate his sacrifice. And your congregation is one of the easiest congregations to preach to, and I appreciate that. You follow the preaching, you amen, and I sure do appreciate that. And also, you're following the other preachers this week as well. Open your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I've got 4 points. I'm going to try to get you out of here. I know you've had a long this past week. Romans chapter 7. We'll begin looking in verse 14. The Apostle Paul here is discussing the challenges that we as Christians have. Look at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. And if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Everybody with me so far? Those are some tongue twisters. Verse 19, for the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In verse 24 here, Paul was a Roman citizen. And in verse 24, Paul describes a Roman punishment that they would bestow upon criminals. And what they were doing, what he's describing here, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? The Romans would take someone who had committed a crime, and they would take a dead, decomposing body, and they would tie it to you face to face. They would tie it from the legs, and they'd go all the way up, and they would tie this decomposing body to you. Now, could you imagine trying to function during the day with a decomposing body wrapped to you, connected to you? There was no way of escaping it in front of you, because you can't escape it. It's right there. Paul used this illustration to describe how we as Christians are with our flesh. How many of you are saved tonight? Raise your hands. You're saved, but you still have a sinful flesh in you that follows you like a decomposing body. And so we find here that Paul struggles. He said that the things that I know I should do, I don't do. And the things that I know I shouldn't be doing, those are the things that I do. We found here in Romans 7 that we wrestle against our flesh daily. 1 Corinthians 11 says that we are to be ye followers of me. This is Paul speaking. Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. As Christians, it should be our goal to follow Christ. But daily, it's hard to do when you've got a dead body tied to you, the flesh. And so we wrestle against our flesh daily. Sometimes we win that battle. Sometimes we lose. Tomorrow's Monday morning. Anybody here work in downtown San Antonio? Boy, the rest of you are smart. Tomorrow's Monday morning. You're going to get up, you're going to go to work, and tomorrow is going to start a whole new day. You know what you're supposed to do as a believer, but you're going to wake up in the morning and the flesh is going to have other things in mind. Amen? You know, more Christians blow their testimony on the way to work and on the way home. Okay? We do. And you know what it is? Besides it being the bad drivers, my wife always says, Sam, you're the only one that thinks that everybody else is the bad driver. And I'm like, and? But it's the flesh. Road rage is a result of letting the flesh take over. Amen? So tonight I want us to look at for a moment on the subject, I want to change. I want to change. Flip with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, as we look at this battle between the spirit and the flesh. Between the spirit and the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that ye would. Paul here tells us that there's a fight. Tonight, when you leave church, you immediately go into a fight between the flesh and the spirit. While there are some even sitting in church, you're having a fight between the flesh and the spirit. And this is the fight that will go on until you and I enter heaven. And the Bible tells us here that there is this fight that goes on. And we find that as a believer, that there are pains of life. As you and I live through life, there are pains of life. And those pains mold us. They mold us into what we are. And from that, we develop a selfish motive. Everything, we have motives behind everything. We accuse people of motives. And these are from the things of our life that we're allowing to mold. And from all of this, walls are built around us. Anybody here ever been hurt by somebody? You may not know it, but you have allowed some kind of a wall to be built around you from that hurt. And we find that through pains of life and selfish motives, that walls are built around us. We also find that sometimes we're needing to let go of hurt that's holding us back. There are people who have been hurt in life. And I'm not up here to say that that hurt isn't real and isn't genuine. What I'm saying is that there are people who have allowed things in life to hurt them. And they have developed a wall around them and they cannot let anybody else in. The 12-step programs. What is the first thing? What is the first step of all of those? What is it?
You just have to admit it.
You have to admit you've got a problem. I'm here to tell you tonight that the first thing of wanting to change is admitting you need to change. Amen. I want to give you some things tonight on changing. Number one, identify your faults. Now that's a doozy. You see, I could bring the house down tonight and by amens, by naming everybody's faults in here. And then I would get a quietness when we started naming our own. How's your faults? Admitting that you've got faults. Do you have faults in your life? You know, when you look in the mirror in your home at night, you know how we look in the mirror and we look and we go, oh boy, that spot wasn't there last week. My wife cuts my hair and she'll be cutting my hair and I'm a hairy guy. I've got hair everywhere. And my wife will start trimming my eyebrows and then she look, well, there's a hair there growing out of my nose and she'll take that and, well, you've got a hair out of your ear, so fix that. You start looking in the mirror and you start looking at what? Your faults. Your blemishes. All kidding aside, all of us at times will look in a mirror of our spiritual life. When nobody else is there, and we'll look at the mirror and we'll look into the soul of our heart and we'll not like what we see. I've been married 26 years. I'm in my 26th year. I got married a month before your pastor did. I've got three children. I love my wife, Susan, and wouldn't change it any other way. But I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I look at myself at times, and I'm not happy with me as a husband. I'm not happy with me as a husband. I look at my children. I've got a nine-year-old. He's my midlife baby. When he graduates high school, I'm 60. And I look at him and I look at my life and I'm not the father that I know I need to be for him. I had the energy and the things of younger youth when my other children were younger. But now, as I've got a 9-year-old, I look at him and the things he wants to do, and I'm just flat worn out. Don't have the energy. And it bothers me. It bothers me when I look at myself in the mirror. It bothers me of the attributes that I have in my life. Things that bother me that I don't even haven't even talked to my wife about. They go so spiritually deep. And we all have them. There are things about me that I want to change. But I just have a problem making it happen. Are you that way tonight? You've got to first realize and acknowledge you've got faults. Man, I hate to break it to you, but you're not the greatest husband in the world. Wives, I hate to break it to you, but you're not the greatest wives in the world. Youth, I hate to tell you, but you're not the greatest teenagers in the world. May need some counseling over here in this area. Your faults. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, it talks about not judging. And for time's sake, we won't go there. But it talks about not judging. There are people who will judge someone for having a piece of a speck in their eye. When Christ says you need to be worried about the beam in your own eye. Our problem is we all have 2x4s in our eyes. Yeah, but preacher, I can't be the husband I need to be because of my wife is A, B, and C. Your wife has a speck of dirt. You've got a beam. Worry about making sure your beam is out of your eye and God will take care of your wife. The problem is that we identify faults in everybody else. But in areas of our life, we're not wanting to admit that we have faults. If you truly want to change tonight, if you want to be a better dad, if you want to be a better husband, teenagers, if you want to be a better son or daughter, then you have to identify that I need to change. My wife doesn't need to change. Sam Riggs needs to change. Everybody with me tonight? I want you to think about that. It is easy for us to expect everybody else to do the work. We don't like, men do not being told what to do. We don't. That's why men don't like reading maps. And 6 hours later, you're right back to the same thing. You would have done better to have read the map than to spend 6 hours lost and then the next 12 hours hearing I told you so from your wife. Amen? We have to identify our faults. Have you ever gone home on your own, in the privacy of yourself, written down things about yourself that you don't like? I'm not talking about asking your spouse to do it. I'm talking about you. I'm not asking the children to do it. I'm asking you, have you ever gone home in the privacy of your own life and you wrote down things about you that you don't like? The first thing here on how to change is identifying your faults. You and I have to take a step back from the mirror. We have to take back and take a step back and look at ourselves. Too many Christians don't want to look at themselves. because they're afraid of what they're going to see. My dad always told us, he said, son, whenever someone gives you constructive criticism, always take out of it, could there be any truth to any of it? Could there be truth to any of the criticism, constructive criticism? And that's you and I taking a step back and saying, you know what? Maybe my communication skills isn't that good. Maybe I do get angry. Maybe or this or that. Maybe I do open my mouth and hurt people's feelings. Maybe I'm too blunt. Are you with me tonight? So we find here identifying our faults. Number two, what do you do after you identify your faults? Okay, so yeah, I'm not the greatest husband. I could do better as a dad. What do I do now? Number two, I have to be now willing to change. See, I can identify all day long that I've got a fault. But now it gets harder. Am I willing to change that fault to make me a better person, to make me a better spouse, to make me a better church member, to make me a better employee and a better employer, to make me a better human being? You must be willing to change. Now understand something tonight, folks. That's not easy. I hear it all the time, and young people, you better listen to this. You date a guy or a girl, and they're not exactly what you think. Don't convince yourself you're going to change them. My wife cannot change me. She cannot. Your husband, you're not going to be able to change him. So if there's things about them that are major issues, you better get them resolved before you fall in love with them, because you're not going to be able to change them. Oh, they'll change. Yeah, I know he's an alcoholic. But I think once we get married and I have a baby, he'll change. Yeah, he will. He'll change. He'll get worse. Because the stress on having now being married and a newborn is going to make it even worse. Are you with me tonight? Amen. It's not going to be easy. But the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. With God's help, a person can change. It's hogwash when someone says, you know what? My granddad was a drunk, and so my dad was a drunk, and so I'm going to be a drunk. That's hogwash. That's garbage. A person can change with the help of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If we want to grow in the Lord, we will not be able to do it until we are open to change in our lives. Yeah, number one, you've got to identify your faults. Number two, you've got to be willing to change. Look at number three. Don't live your life being angry. Blaming others won't get you very far. Blaming others will not get you very far. I had a man years ago at my first church I pastored, some 20-something years ago. He hadn't seen his adult daughter, hadn't talked to her in over 40 years. They had had a fight after she had graduated from high school. And they never spoke again. He was dying of cancer. So we were talking, and I said, you do not want to end life with this between you and your daughter. Life's too short. And then people spend the rest of their life in guilt because the loved one is now dead and they can't fix it. And so he said, you know what, you're right. I'm going to call my daughter. So he did. He called his daughter. And she was so happy to hear from him. And as they were on the phone, she said to her dad, you know, Dad, I don't even remember what the fight was over. Sounds good so far, doesn't it? He got so angry at her that she forgot that he hashed it all out and hung up the phone. I preached his funeral, and do you know who was not there? His daughter. Anger? Folks, I don't know what's going on in your life, the tragedies. There are people who have tragedies that unfold in their life. And that's between you and God. But there are some who have allowed tragedies to allow them to become angry and bitter at God. And they can't move on with their life. And because of that, their family members are suffering. And those around them suffer as a result of living a life full of anger. Are you that one? Is that one of our faults? Anger? Anger is one of those things that we are it's excused. There's a lot of people in prison because they got angry. And they lost their cools. And they committed horrible felonies as a result. And they're serving time in prison. Are you with me tonight? Anger can get the best of you. Don't live your life being angry. We learn from our mistakes, and it makes us a better person. Amen? So we're talking about, I want to change. Me as a person, I want to be a better person. We do this by identifying our faults, by willing to change. And by realizing that we can't live a life being angry. Now understand this. Nowhere do I say that you don't have the right to be angry. There are things that happen in our life and we have a right to be angry. But that doesn't mean we should allow it to control our life and ruin our present and future. Amen? Number four. Identify the person you want to be and aim to be that person. You want to be a different father? Aim to be that. You want to be a different husband, a different wife, a different parent, a different son or daughter? Aim to be that person. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll be looking in verse 22. God's people have got to learn to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be daily in our life. In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We found here that when we identify the person we want to be, I want to be a person for love. I want to have the spirit of joy. I want to have peace. I want to have long suffering. I want to have gentleness and be goodness. I want to live a life of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Do you? Galatians tells us in chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, that it is up to us. It is up to us alone to change ourselves. Now, you can go through life tonight. You can go through life tonight, and everybody that is close to you and everybody that knows you have to make some excuse to allow for your fault. Or you can tell yourself, I don't like being this way. I don't like being this way. There are things that my wife has to put up with me as her husband. And she's done it for 26 years. But I wish I had the ability to overcome so she didn't have to put up with that. And every one of us has areas in our lives that we wish we could be better in. Amen? It is up to us. My wife can't change me. Your parents can't change you. Your pastor can't change you. Only you can change yourself. And we find here that if we do this, if we're able to look at our faults, if we're able to be willing to change, if we're able to live a life of not being angry all the time at the world, I'm not saying we're not going to slip up with the things going on in the world that we're seeing. We're going to get angry over things. If we identify who we want to be and seek out, we may not never become the person that we truly are wanting to be, but every step towards that makes us a better me. A better me. And as Christians, when we become a better me, we are able to be a light to a community that sees Christ in us. Amen? That sees Christ in us. Let's all stand, shall we, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, as your pastor comes tonight.